First up, then, we have Agony Sauce.
You're right. I guess we have met before. At first, I thought you were a roadie that used to work for us on tour. I'm surprised you helped.
I don't know if there's a more iconic chord progression than Wonderwall. Well, there probably is, but, you know, just the way that the guitars come in on one side of your ear first and then the other ear, it sounds so like Wonderwall. I knew exactly what was happening from the very first handful of chords. So I thought it was very effective to lead off with that.
Huh, okay. did he put that in the lyrics sheet?
Yeah.
Why didn't I get that
it was Wonderwall?
You know, I was listening, and I know that there were a whole bunch of things going on, but let me pull up the lyric sheet really quick here.
Yeah, because when I first heard it, I was like, today is going to be the day that there's something back to you. It's weird. I must have heard that song more than you in the 90s or whenever it was popular.
I should have seen that. I don't know why I didn't see it. Maybe I just didn't even bother because the others were so very, very recognizable immediately to me. But I was trying to pick it out, and for a while there I thought it might be We Are the Champions by Queen, because it has the long period where it's just kind of going between the two chords, and then it modulates up to another chord, and then it goes into that immediately dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun with the chords progression going down like it does for this. So I was wrong, though, so I don't even know why I'm explaining this.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if rock and roll has standards, per se. I guess, like, I would consider Smoke on the Water a rock and roll standard, like you'd have in jazz.
Yeah, sure. Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah, for sure.
Stuff like that. There's plenty of stuff that's instantly recognizable and that you could go with. But yeah, apparently also Wonderwall for half of us.
Yeah, that it's hinging on that whole familiar thing. I guess it's good to use multiple chord progressions in your song like Agony Sauce did. If you weren't going to get hits from the judges on all of them, one of them is going to hit somebody.
Yeah, I thought this was a great song, and there are only great songs in this round, in my opinion. But I think the pile of cumulative challenges combined with the overambitious humor and maybe kind of meta humor in their attempt to overachieve on this challenge, you know, it turned this song into a bit of a novelty mashup without any flow. And I feel bad for saying that, but since we have to, you know, rank these, and some of them are going to go in the bottom three, I'm going to explain why this one's going in the bottom three for me. You know, super overambitious, really impressive, but I don't think it had all that much flow, and it turned into a bit of a novelty song. I did enjoy the song a whole lot. I laughed out loud when Godzilla popped up. Yeah, I don't know. I just liked it a lot. I like the message received bit. That reference was really cool. And I'm very impressed by the intricacy and the cleverness, but the listenability, I think, suffers a little. And also, you know, as a side note, I don't know why Glennie doesn't like this stuff. You know, it's different and it's intricate and it's busy and it's jam-packed with references. It seems like it'd be right up his alley, but I think on the boards he wasn't really happy with the cumulative challenges that he's doing.
I also felt that this was super well done, and it was a lot of work to fit all of the cumulative challenges in. But for me, it worked, and that impressiveness also just carried through into my enjoyment of the song. This was my favorite song by far of the round. And, you know, for me, all of those sort of iconic chord progressions that they used, they all worked for me. And I thought it was extremely cool the way that they use the chiptune's bloop to signal a transition from one of those borrowed chord progressions to their own chorus or bridge. So there's a bloopy sound right before all of those transitions. And I think there, I don't know if there's a key change or a modulation that happens when they go into the chorus or the bridge, but whatever it is, it sounds really cool. And I was really just impressed by it technically, and I also was impressed by it musically. It was like the song I wanted to listen to the most. And I was really impressed with the kind of cool backing vocals that were done, especially on the solo. Yeah. And there were just a lot of details that I got, like the who sample from Who Let the Dogs Out. It was just really cool. And of course, the M-E-S-S-A-G-E received bit that happens, like I think it's after the solo, is just really a nice callback. All the things that they were trying to do worked for me, and I caught all of them, and I appreciated all of them. And I don't know, to me, this is the most impressive and listenable song of the bunch.
Huh. I guess what threw me a bit was the changes in tempo also. I mean, when they go into these different sections, they do kind of jarringly move from one song to a different song. And that's what I thought really kind of interrupted the flow. So, again, a very, very impressive song to me, but I thought that it didn't flow well. Again, I already said it. The listenability suffered from the jarring changes. Impressive, fun, clever, neat, and not going to be in my top two.